I feel like a lot of people think that pride is just about, like, it's the end of the road. Like, we're proud. There's no room for growth. There's so much room for growth. So it's like, I think pride is just a reflection of being happy in who you are. And also being shaken up by what is still to come.
Happy Pride Month, Fame Reporters. On this week's episode of The Fame Report, Alexander Casala sits down with actor Johnny Sibeli, where they talk about his experience being on Pose.
So beautiful to, like, be on set and see the trans women and the gender nonconforming people on set being the crew. Janet Mock directing a black trans woman to have that space. It felt like a dream, like out of this world.
Revelations about our allies and about being an ally.
Like, never question me, yeah, or, like, doubt me, yeah, you know? Mm-hmm. They would be like, yeah. And I can't even imagine, like, mm-hmm, so many of the, my sister, you know, yeah, I can't even imagine doing that. So then, like, for me to question or potentially doubt, like, somebody else's experience with potentially racism, right, or, like, transphobia.
Right.
You're like, oh my God, I can never do that myself.
Right.
And Johnny tries to play couples therapist to Alex, only there's no couple and Alex is still alone.
So him finding that other guy, what does that make you feel? Like, what, do you feel like, oh, I guess I wasn't good enough?
For sure.
Okay.
But
he wasn't texting that other guy before, probably. He probably just met him. Listen, guys.
It's queer as hell, it's gay as fuck, it's campy, fresh, hot topics, yes girl, you're in luck. Diva stars and queens, LGBTQ news, New York City, Broadway, pop culture, hurry up and get the Fame Report. This just in, it's the Fame Report, it's perfect for you, so get the Fame Report, with Alex Casala.
Sound really good. Okay, can you just talk?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing. Welcome.
You're close. Oh.
Welcome to the radio show.
The Fame Report. Oh, wait, is it on? Let me see. Oh, yeah, it is. I'm just, like, really out. Okay. This is, like, always how it starts. It's, like, me, like, talking. Me, like, alrighty, so on the, this is, I think, the 8th episode. I need to get closer. It's really funny because usually I for a while, I was sounding other people better than me. Like, one episode, I sounded so much better than the other person. I was like, oh, I feel bad for them. This is, I think, the 8th episode of The Fame Report with Johnny Sibeli.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I got this venti iced coffee that you brought me. It is sitting right where I need it to sit.
From a coffee distributor, because they're not sponsoring yet.
Yeah, some little-known coffee shop, you know.
A Seattle roastery. What do you, why are you in New York?
New York to get away for a little bit.
Oh.
I miss the East Coast. I'll be going to the Pose Season 2 premiere. And I'm just here relaxing.
When's the premiere?
On Wednesday.
Nice.
Yeah.
You used to live here.
I did. I lived here for 6 years.
But are you from here?
No, I'm originally from Miami. And I remember being in college and my acting teacher was like, if you want to be an actor, you should start off in New York and then move to LA. So that's what I did. And I was like, oh, I'll give myself 5 years in New York just to, like, plant the seed, da 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 da. And then I stayed 6.
Where did you go to school?
Like college?
Yeah.
This college in Miami called Miami-Dade. And then I realized very quickly you didn't need college to be an actor. And I was like, all right, bye.
Honestly, you don't need college to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
You really don't. I didn't graduate college.
Yeah. Remember when teachers...
Like, I'm like a journalist in quotation marks.
Oh my God. When our teachers would tell us, like, oh, you can't take a calculator with you everywhere. You're not going to have one when you grow up. It's like, bitch, that's literally all I have is my calculator. I still count on my fingers, to be honest. Anyway. Yeah.
Math. Like, do you ever use fractions? Literally. I mean, like, yeah, it's just so much of what we learn is so useless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I didn't graduate college, which has definitely created some obstacles in my life. But when you kind of get over the obstacles, then, like, recently somebody was like, you didn't graduate college? And I was like, no. And they were like more impressed by me because of what I've done.
Yeah, yeah.
A degree.
Of course.
But it is definitely challenging at times. But the other thing is when I was working in a PR firm a few years ago, we would have these interns.
Yeah.
And they'd be like seniors or like some of them be like post-grad interns. And they just did not have any sort of skill set to actually do like anything.
Right.
And like they're just like their work ethic was so muted.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what are they teaching you in college? Right.
Well, because there's no like rehearsal for like real world. You know, it's like this is what it looks like. It's like a picture when you're looking at a picture, but you or like a video of something, and you're like, oh, I can do that. And then you get there, and you're like, oh, I can't do shit. Like that's me watching all those like dancing videos. I'm like, oh, I could really do that. And then I go to a class, and they're like, this is the choreography. I'm like, psh, I'm out.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. I'm like, I gotta do a Call Me Mother Pride video. In
yes! I mean, as long as you're in charge of the edit, you're gonna look good. That's why I love making my own stuff. Because I'm like, I'm in charge of the edit. I'll make sure it looks enough, like good enough.
We'll get back to that. But what about, but you're from Miami. I lived there for 6 months. I love Miami.
I have a very interesting relationship. I like it more now that I go back and I see there's like a whole new culture. And like, I mean, I love the culture of like Hispanic people and all that, and I miss it so much. But it's, I don't know. So when you grow up somewhere, it's kind of like you don't appreciate it as much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do miss it.
It's definitely better than Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah, 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 for
sure. Fort Lauderdale is where cargo shorts go to die.
Yeah, no, I was telling my friend a story the other day. I was like, oh, when I touched down in Miami, I went to the airport, like, coffee shop or whatever. And I was like, can I get an iced coffee? And they gave me a cafe con leche, which is, you know, a, like, Cuban coffee.
Yeah.
And I was like, she really didn't understand iced coffee, but you know what? I'm here for it. She's like, you're gonna get what you're gonna get.
And you're not gonna get upset.
I'm like, gracias. Like,
and you speak Spanish.
Yeah, well, enough to get by.
What ethnicities are you?
I am, so my mom's Cuban, my dad's Dominican. So I'm like a little Caribbean baby, and then I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I'm half Armenian.
Oh.
Those are my roots.
That's fierce.
Yeah. I was...
So, like, Kim Kardashian?
Same
exact
genetic makeup. Seriously, yeah. She's half white, half... Like, half white, just...
Yeah.
I don't... Like, who knows the ethnicity of Kris Jenner?
Yeah. She's an alien.
Just like cougar. That's like cheetah.
Yes.
Leopard.
She's a cat.
Yeah. But white, and then Armenian, and that's what my dad's white, and then my mom's Armenian. Oh. And the other person who's like half white, half Armenian is Cher.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, I really do feel like half Armenians will take over the world.
You should do like one of those animations where it's like you, Cher, and Kim, and you're just like Charlie's Angels. If I could draw, I would do. I'm gonna do the stick figures of that for you.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you.
God, the Charlie's Angels reboot we didn't think we needed.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I did, when I interviewed Cher, we talked about it. And now my goal is, like, my next one is, like, Kim Kardashian. You guilt them with the Armenian thing.
Yeah.
Like, you email a publicist, and, like, I am a struggling...
Yes.
Half Armenian.
She said struggling to get by half Armenian.
Queer. Yes. And then you had queer in there. And then they're like, oh, we gotta give him an interview.
Yeah.
But no, that actually...
Let her get back in touch with her roots.
Yes. Well, they did have that moment, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, like, there was, like, a year...
When was she was the Kardashians? Really,
when they went, it was like the 100th anniversary of the genocide, and so it was 2014,
yeah.
So they went to Armenia,
ah.
And they did like all of this stuff there, like for and about it and stuff, and then that like same year, North got baptized in the Armenian quarter of Jerusalem.
Oh.
She was doing all of these like really intense, archaic, like Armenian moments, and it was like,
fierce. We love a traveling show.
And then I've actually been to the church she got, the baby got baptized, and it's gorgeous.
Did you go because of that? Or
yes.
Just
and there's a plaque. Yeah. No, but I was like, I knew more about it. But when I visited Jerusalem, I made sure the press trip that I was on, I was like, they emailed us very much in the beginning, like, is there anything you want specific to the trip? And I was like, Armenian quarter. And they were like, we never get that request.
They're like, so we have a gay on the trip.
They're like, they're eye rolling. They're like, this fucking Kim Kardashian fan is just trying to like retrace.
No, you go in like an airbrush Kim K shirt. You're like, where is it?
I love that.
Yeah.
You're pegging me. I love it. But no, but I really was interested. No, I really was interested. And it was funny, though, because people from, like, the government organization that had organized this trip,
yeah.
They were like, we weren't going to come with you today, but we've never done this ourselves.
Oh.
Because they actually set it up. And yeah. It was kind of hard. Yeah, we had to have, like, one of the Armenian monks, like, take us on the tour.
Oh.
And this, like, Armenian 60-year-old monk, yeah. priest, dude, literally was, like, taking us on the tour. And I brought it up. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, like, Kim Kardashian got her. Like, what was that like? And he was like, it was so exciting.
Oh, that's
He was
so
like,
sweet.
We've never had people, like, care about us. Because it's like, there's four quarters in Jerusalem, and, right. like, nobody cares about their Armenian quarter. The other ones are much more, like, historical uh-huh. and tourist, or just, like, more, like, touristy. And he was like, there were people, there were, like, 1,000 people outside of our gates. And I'm like,
oh, my God. Imagine seeing the behind the scenes of, like, the monks, like, very, like, The Office. Like, Kim K's coming. Oh, my God.
Just, like, staring at her ass, walking down, like, the pews.
Guys. Yeah.
But yeah, no, for sure. There's always like a weird thing, but like to grow up in Miami, I lived in South Florida for 6 months. So yeah. I imagine growing up there being really special.
Yeah, it was so special. Like the only thing I could equate it to, like living in New York, is when you go to like Washington Heights and like people are outside and they're like playing dominoes and there's music always blasting. That was like my entire childhood. Every weekend was someone's barbecue or someone's baby shower or birthday. And like everyone would be partying till like 5 a.m. I'd fall asleep on the couch. Like I always tell my friends, I can fall asleep anywhere, because as a kid I had to fall asleep during like loud salsa music, and like, but it was so fierce. Like I learned like family's so important, and you know, even though most of them are crazy, it's, and like I remember when my Big Fat Greek Wedding came out, and I was like, oh, this is the closest thing I've ever seen to like what my family's actually like, you know.
Me too.
That and like soul food, except for like all the cheating and like craziness, but like that like sense of family. Yeah,
no, for sure. I think that's why Big Fat Greek Wedding did so well, because not only Greeks related to it, Armenians,
right. yeah.
Jewish people, yeah. Latin, yeah. you know, like it's just, and it did do like crazy well.
It did.
But I love that's so in my, we did this thing like, so we were very tied to our church.
Yeah.
The Armenian Orthodox Church, not really because of religion. We weren't like a very religious family. My mom isn't very religious,
yeah.
but just because the church and like these Orthodox communities are like tying you to your community and
of
your
course,
culture.
Yeah.
So at our Armenian one at like 45 minutes away, like Soup Sahag in Havertown, every Friday, they had like a party.
Yeah.
And it was called like Kateyan. Mm-hmm. And I like can't
Ooh, that's
speak.
Fierce.
Yeah.
That's
but fierce. It always like made, it always sounded like chicken to me for some reason. But it's Kateyan.
Are we going to the chicken fest or?
And yeah. every like Friday, it'd be like a lot of people, like mostly men playing backgammon, like a lot of people, mostly yeah. women, like cooking, and then the kids Ugh. All in this like one little janitor's closet,
yeah.
like watching TV. Yeah. Yes, the gender binary was,
was very
rigid.
Strong with them.
But it was just it was. I mean, there was dancing.
Yeah,
like a DJ.
Yeah.
And there was like a party every Friday.
How did that feel as a little queer kid? Like, were you kind of like watching and like enjoying TV, or were you like by yourself like playing Spice Girls in the corner? Like,
no, I was always with, I mean, I was the gayest kid.
Yeah.
The queerest. And then when I had my mom on the podcast, she was like, you were really a sweet child up until like 12.
Yeah.
And then you became this like this tyrant, this like this very, and I did, I became very rebellious
yeah.
in middle school, but as a kid, but yeah, I always wanted to play with the girls. I always did play with the girls.
The
I mean,
girls
I got
more interesting.
Yeah, I got. It's so funny to me because I'm like, girls were our allies in the beginning.
Yeah,
they
and
really were.
Sometimes there's a moment where they're like, "Ooh, I'm gonna need to not hang out with you right now." And I'm like, "What? We've been." So-? And then there's the one that's like, "Let's hang out every day." And I'm like, "Okay." You know.
And you do them in your act.
yes, absolutely.
But it is funny, like, to I mean, yeah, I always played with the girls.
Yeah.
And I still kind of played sports, but I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
But it was Fridays. So on Fridays was TGIF. Remember TGIF?
Oh, my God, of course.
So everybody would be in the janitor's closet, like, watching, like, those four sitcoms.
My God.
Family
in
Matters.
The janitor's closet.
Yeah, literally. That's where the TV was.
Yeah.
It was, like, Family Matters.
Family Matters.
Step by Step.
Yeah.
Boy Meets World.
And
there was always one, like, fourth that only got, like, one or two seasons.
Yeah, they're like, we'll throw this in and see if it works. Yeah.
But what about you? What was your like experience like growing up as a queer Latinx child in the beaches of South Beach?
Well, I grew up mostly in Florida. We also lived in Gainesville because my parents got divorced and then we moved to Gainesville, Florida. That was a really special time.
How old were we when they divorced?
7.
Oh, that's
tough.
Yeah,
she was young. Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. I think it was harder after the fact. Like, when it was happening, it was like, I don't understand what's going on. But we never, like, I never felt like we wanted for anything. I know we did, because it was only a single parent household, but I feel like I turned out just fine. I mean, we'll see.
I think you're doing okay.
Yeah. So me and my sister used to go to the Boys and Girls Club after school because my mom was working till late. And it was like the most exciting thing. That's why I asked you if you like played Spice Girls or anything, because I remember we had like just time to just play. And I remember there was like my sister and a group of girls. And I was like, okay, we're going to play Spice Girls and we're going to act like we're on the bus. Da 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 da. And, like, I would pretend to be the manager because I was like, I guess I'll be the manager because I can't be Jerry, because then I'll just, like, out myself, even though I'm kind of already, like, guys are like, you're gay or whatever. I got in my first fight there. Like, I remember there was, like, this bully and I had, like, a water balloon. And he's like, if you fucking throw that at me, I'm going to fucking beat your ass. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I threw it at him and he beat me. Beat my ass.
I mean,
I was like, wow, she was brave. But it's
ask
like,
ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies.
It's like when your parents are like, don't touch the stove, you're gonna get burned, and then you do it. And yeah, I never threw a water balloon at anyone else again. He punched me in the stomach so hard, I was like, anyway.
What was his name?
I don't even know. He was like,
I would love to look him
up. It was like, you know, and like,
see the amazing thing he's doing.
Truly.
Does he have 170,000? I think about him a lot.
On Instagram. You know what's funny? It felt like one of those scenes in jail where, like, the new guy comes in and, like, they're like, what are you looking at? And then they get into a fight. It was very much like that
scene. Very Orange is the New Black. Yeah,
very so true. And it looked like a jail, like the Boys and Girls Club.
I really would love to create something where, and, like, them, like, said they did this, but, like, they didn't really, where, like, you really pair up people with their childhood bullies.
Oh,
and
you
bring them back together.
Yeah, yeah.
And just have
Rembrandt. You know Rembrandt?
No.
Do you know Rembrandt? He's amazing. And he, I think he was in that bully situation. I'm like, of course she was the bully.
But they were, like, creating bullies. Like,
in oh, really?
Them, in, on them.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, I mean, like, I'm talking about really, like, oh, like, I mean, maybe other people have done this, too.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to, it could be a really good TV show.
Yeah. It's very, like, MTV, like.
Yes!
I haven't seen you in years, and you made me feel like shit. And it's like, okay, girl, well, like,
wait.
It's like very Naomi Campbell and Tyra Banks. Remember when she brought her on the show? And
she's yes!
Like, you, and Naomi's just like, well, sorry you felt that way. Ah! Iconic.
But think about how many of those bullies would actually probably be really upset about the way they treated somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And because, you know, hurt, in the words of Raja O'Hara, season 11, hurt people hurt.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's true. So I think there could be so much good. Mm. All right.
You should produce it. Pitch it.
Yeah, maybe I will.
You heard it here, folks. You're here. What did I say? You heard it here first folks. Ooh, this coffee has got me.
It got you like so far.
Like, da, 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 da.
Okay, so then Miami, New York, and then what was your experience in New York?
Oh my gosh, it was crazy. I mean, New York will really get you together.
Other club.
Yeah.
No sleep.
Actually, it was very much like I had my phases in New York. Like, I lived in Hell's Kitchen, I lived in Battery Park, I lived in Williamsburg. So every time I moved, there was a different kind of phase in my life. So like, when I moved from Hell's Kitchen to Battery Park, it was like I was getting out of a relationship, so I was learning how to be single in New York City, which is, it is a whole show in and of, you know.
It is a lot of visits to the clinic, you I'll know? Tell you that.
You again?
Yeah, it's like when they already have like your number ready with like your form filled out, they're like... Yeah. 10:45 on Friday. Here she is. Come on in.
Well, it was so funny. When I first got on PrEP, my doctor was like, when's the last time you were sexually active? I'm like, oof, I think like 2 months ago. She's like, then why do you want to be on PrEP? I'm like, girl, because I am hoping that it changes. I'm hoping that we get it together and we get to use this, you know, this moment.
The way that it could be that I haven't been. And
Yeah.
When was that? When did you get on PrEP?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember the year, but it was, like, during the first initial, like...
So early. Moment.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what? Oh, okay. We gonna get on that, you know?
Oh, good for you. Not me.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to take a pill every day first. And I don't have a problem having sex with condoms.
Yeah.
So I stayed off of it. Super supportive of people who were on it.
Yeah.
Really. And then I just was like, you know what? Let's do it. Mm. And I'm so happy that I did.
Yeah.
I actually randomly at my sister's, at my niece's birthday party on Saturday.
Yeah.
My niece's like best friend, yeah. her parents mm-hmm. now work at Gilead, which is the company that
Yeah.
And so it was so funny. And they were literally like, if you tell us anything about the drug, we have to like report it.
Oh.
Which is like a rule, I guess, when you work at like pharmaceutical companies or something.
Interesting.
And I was going on. So I'm like, you better get your notepad She's out. Like,
well, but so I, here's the thing.
I said to them, I'm really happy that I went on it, but I've gotten a couple STDs.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten syphilis.
Yeah.
I've gotten syphilis now, and nobody knows this. This is the first time twice.
Really?
Yeah, and the first time it was so bad, my hair fell out. And a lot of people know that. I've talked about this
yeah.
like a million times now. But I still support being on PrEP, and I still support people going on PrEP.
Yeah.
Because I do think it really kind of, it does really change the way that you view sex.
Right.
Because it makes you so much more comfortable and confident, and it takes so much anxiety out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That I think it's important for people to experience that.
Right.
But then I think it's also important to then still remember that, like, there's so many other things that
absolutely.
Can happen to you.
Yeah. And well, that's the thing. Like, when it first came out, everyone's like, well, I'm on PrEP, so everything. And I think we're learning now. It's like, okay, you could be on PrEP, Miss Thing, but there's still another, like,
yeah.
there's still other things. And, you know, I think people are starting to get it now and, like, you know, adjust accordingly. And, like, it only takes a couple times where you have that headache of having to go and fill the prescription because you're, you know, you got the clap or whatever, and you're just like, and mind you, everything's, that's all curable and whatnot, and, like, it goes away, but it's still a headache. It's still, you know, anxiety ridden, you know what I mean? And then you, like, beat yourself up because you're like, this is why, no. It's like, relax, it's okay. If more people were open about it, I think that we wouldn't have all the stigma. Because now that the stigma around HIV is, like, slowly but surely, you know, dissipating, now we've got the next round of stigma, which is the STIs and STDs. It's like, you guys have to realize we're humans. Like, we're going to have these things that we're interchanging. You know what I mean? Anyways.
And it's so crazy, though, but people that, like, aren't... But there's so much, like there's so much stigma, and there's so much, like, on both sides of the table
yeah.
about, like, everything. I mean, like, people getting so mad at other people because they want to wear condoms.
Yeah.
People
oh.
getting so mad at...
Oh, that's where I'm like, girl, if I say, no, we're going to wear a condom, I don't give a shit what you're... I don't care if you're on the miracle worker pill. Back it up. This is a consensual thing.
Yeah.
So if I want to do this and you don't want to do it, there's the door.
Yes.
Bye. Like,
yes.
Especially in some, like, a place where New York City, where you could just walk and get hit by a dick. Like, it is insane. Like, I tell my boyfriend all the time, I'm like, oh, if when you live in New York City, like, you could get it any time of the day, anywhere. It is available to you.
And usually the midday dick is the best.
Yes, some the of, lunch break.
Oh my God. I don't even know if they're necessarily on a lunch break. They're just, like, coming and going from, like, auxiliary neighborhoods around
yeah.
Manhattan. But, like, yeah. the best dick is sometimes yeah. in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Sally's work. Like, didn't you take a lunch break? Why are you eating at your desk? You're like, oh, I took a lunch break in half, honey.
But it just... I love that. But it's just, like, it's so interesting. And then there's also people that are like, oh, you prep whores.
Oh, really?
You dirty prep sluts.
Oh,
like,
girl.
Yeah, and that's just too much. But I have good friends. Like,
yeah.
I have good friends, and they're not on it.
Yeah.
And when, like, a few months after I got on it, we had a conversation, and they really were, like, questioning science. And, like, questioning, like, but how does it work?
But how does it
like,
work?
It like and not believing the
yeah,
science.
Yeah, of course.
I'm, like, so scared of, like, what does it actually, like, do to
yeah.
yourself?
Those are the ones that are up to, like, 1 a.m. on Google with all the lights off and their phone screen shining in their face. And they're like, let's see what
this is about. WebMD.
Yeah. Like, it's like, but that's the thing. It's so often, like, people are scared of the unknown. And unless they know for a fact, like, you know, I feel like it's probably been this way, like, since the beginning of time. And then everyone's on it, and then everyone's like, oh, I was that way, too. I had skepticism, too, and did it. You know what I mean? You just
yeah.
get over it.
And I wasn't even at the beginning of it. I mean, I'm like,
yeah.
People have been on this for 5 years,
yeah.
and you're questioning it now. Like, if I was, like, in the trial run, I could see them being like, does it work? Because I would, too, be questioning
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
like,
of course.
But you were in New York, and
yeah.
you were, oh wait, so then what happened after you went on PrEP? Were you just like, did you get into a really slutty phase?
No, I don't think I've ever had a slutty, I mean, if I've had a slutty phase, it's been like a week. And then I'm like, whoa, Johnny, relax, you know? And then I'd go, like, celibate for 3 months for no reason, really. But for me, before, sex was always, like, connected with heart. So I was not able to differentiate the two. Like, I was the one that's like, oh, we had sex. I guess that means we're dating. I guess that means we're going to, like, figure this out and date. It was very, like, heteronormative, like, you know, I see this going somewhere. I very seldomly had just random sex.
What sign are you?
Virgo. So it's how I imagine Beyonce would be if she was single. You know, just never having sex. And then, you know, having a week where she's like, I need it all the time. Yeah.
But it happens in waves too, though.
Yeah.
I think it happens in waves naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, it's funny. When I have sex, I end up having a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then when I don't, I don't. Mm-hmm. And there's and I'm totally fine when I don't. And I don't even try to force it or push it per se.
Yeah.
But I also have noticed, like, when I have it, I'm like, oh God, I can't stop having it.
Yeah.
Because these dicks are just flying at me. Because I think you're maybe, like, more confident or just something, you're more sure. Yeah. And you're just like, I just got this dick yesterday. Yeah. I'll be able to get
it. You just draw it to you.
You just draw. Yeah. Yeah. There's like, it could like be even like a smell thing. It could be even like your
pheromones.
Yeah. No, really.
Love her, by the way.
Great could segue. You imagine, it's a season.
You're like, your pheromones, like, you're just air is just little heads of pheromone, like, people are like, that's hot.
But you never really had that. A slutty phase for you is like a few days.
Yeah. Okay. Every now and then.
But then what was your experience like dating in New York?
It was rough. I will say it wasn't great. I mean, yeah, it gave me plenty of like content to like play with. Like, one of my characters like is always looking for love and like, you know, madly in love with the idea of love. But yeah, it was, I feel like it was always like that next best thing syndrome where it's like, where you like go to the diner and you're like, oh my God, there's just like so many options. But like, I guess I'm just going to pick the one that always gives me diarrhea. Like, it was always that.
Buffalo wings.
Yeah, exactly. It was like
the 12 count buffalo wings with curly fries on the side with a side of cheese sauce.
Yes. Oh my God, cheese sauce. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy, but it definitely taught me very quickly what I wanted, who I wanted in my life, because you get all that, like, the stigma of, like, you know, oh, you wear wigs, and this, that, and the other, not really into that. And I'm like, okay, great, so I know that I don't want a person like you, or, yeah, you know, or, oh, you're an actor, you work at a restaurant, not a good enough job. Okay, so now I know I don't want a person like you, and, like, it just teaches.
Oh, well, that's, you. I mean, well, the first one is, like, somebody being, like, slightly transphobic, femphobic, which you don't want.
Oh, yeah.
The second is, like, a person that's being elitist as fuck.
Yeah.
And as Oprah says, yeah, if they ain't gonna take the bus with you when the limo breaks down, bye.
Oh, my God, I love that Oprah
the real quote's like, you don't want to find somebody that takes the limo with you. You want to find somebody that will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down.
Work.
That's, like, the real people you want in your life.
That's,
you
know, right.
You know what I mean? But yeah, for me, the thing that I've just experienced recently is that, like, and I think I'm gonna write about this, is I've been talking to this guy since, like, November.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, no, not, we've been talking since Pride of last year. We started hooking up in November.
Happy 1 year.
And, of talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of literally, well,
that's
texting.
Very New York, yeah.
And then, but he had a boyfriend when we met, and then they broke up, and then we started hooking up in, like, October, November.
Okay.
Went on a couple of dates. I brought this motherfucker to a Valentine's Day party.
Okay.
Introduced him to some friends of mine, but we're having a great time together, really good. And then, you know, like, what meat is? It's just, like,
yeah, yeah,
this, like, sexualized circuit party.
Yes, we know a circuit.
it's like them trying to do, like, black party every month.
Ah, and
they're, like, slightly succeeding.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
cute. But he was texting me about if I was going.
Mm.
And I was kind of maybe going or
yeah.
whatever. And he kept like, you should go.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, and then I ended up going, not because of him, but I ended up going and I was texting him. And then we see each other.
Yeah.
And like half hour later, he's like, where are you? I want to find you. And I was like, so kind of like doing my own like twicks and twirls in the corner, like
right.
shenanigans, like giving shows.
Yeah.
But I was like, and then like I ended up finding him maybe like a half hour later. And mm-hmm. by then he had like paired off with like somebody else.
Yeah, yeah,
I
just spit. Oh, you did?
And yeah. Well, spit just now, not spit then.
No, I know.
That's not on brand for me. But no, but then I was like, oh, and then I was like, Oh, like you're paired off with somebody.
Right.
And he was still, he wasn't like ignoring me per se.
Right.
But he like wasn't like entering that space with me in that moment or like trying to. Uh-huh. And I know this is like, I don't know. I really did feel some kind of way. He made me feel bad.
Yeah.
He made me like, I was hurt. But then I'm like, I'm like, was questioning myself because I'm like, okay, we're at a sex party. What do I expect from somebody?
Right.
Am I taking this too seriously? But I was also like, really? I talked about it with some friends. I just was like, and I still don't know what the final conclusion is, but I'm like, there's lots of, it's like you're in the candy store.
Right,
you know what
course.
I mean? And like, I don't know. I just feel like I should have been his gummy bear for that night.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, he already set it up for you that was probably going to be the, you know, the end of that journey, because he's like, I hope you're there. Where are you? I want to find you, which is very, I'm sure it was very true. But when you're like in the candy store and you're hungry and you can't find that one, you know, piece of cheesecake that you've been looking for, they're like, oh, well, here's a chocolate cake. And you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll eat that for now.
What candy store are you going to? There's cake.
That's sorry, not candy store. I'm using my diner analogy again. Cheesecake factory. Anywhere, really. But, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, it's there. And I'm sure he didn't mean anything by it. But then you come out of the corner and he's like, oh, that's right. She was here. And then you're like, oh, okay, I see where you are. Okay. And it's happened to me, like, several times, for sure. And I don't think you should judge that feeling of like, oh, that doesn't feel good.
Oh, it felt really bad.
Because you know each other outside of that setting also. Yeah. So it's like you have a kind of different relationship. Whereas like if he didn't text you to tell you that he was going or that he wanted you there and you just so happened to see him, you would have been like, oh, okay. He's doing that. But like the whole setup and all that, you kind of have expectations at some point. Like, a human being has expectations. I don't care what anyone says. They're like, you know, I wasn't expecting any. Yes, we are. Like, this is how we get by.
And he had also texted me that morning something like, I'm just trying to get you to like me again.
Mm.
And that morning, and I responded, like, LOL, crying face, who said I ever stopped?
Aww.
And but then looking back, I'm like, I gave that motherfucker too much of my heart.
Yeah, you're like, well, see, you should have been like, yeah, well.
Because I withdraw. I kind of do. And I'm open. And, you know, like, I come into your hotel room and I'm, like, loving you and I'm giving you, but, like, for men that I date, I'm, like, not like that.
Oh.
I am a little bit more, like, guarded. In my mind, we're getting married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my mind, like,
but
I've
already
picked
up. But you're not going to tell him that. Yeah.
No.
Are you? Well,
no,
I mean,
don't. I don't. And then for this person, he literally just posted a cute pic on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's a flight attendant, and he posted a really cute pic of himself
in
his flight attendant. And I said, oh, that's such a cute pic. Like,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to make you like me again. And I was like.
Also, like. Does he live here in New York?
Yes.
Such a New York thing to say. Like, they
have
so much, like, not calling him a fuckboy because I don't know him, but so much fuckboy swag. Like,
yes.
Girl, tone it down. All I did was say you look cute. Like, but also, that was really, like,
cute.
You got me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's so funny because I always talked about dating in New York. Like, you go on a date and it was always like, I'm going to try and convince the other person I'm not looking for anything. So it's like, so, what, you know, I'm not really looking for anything right now. I'm just, like, seeing where it goes. It's like, why can't we just say, yeah, I'm looking. It would be nice to, like, meet someone. And because people think all of a sudden they're going to look like they have three heads if they, like, actually say what they want.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, like, oh, whatever. Like, oh, yeah, it's a Wednesday, a school night. I got all dressed up. We came to this restaurant. I'm not looking for anything. At least you're looking for a meal and a good time. Like, stop acting like you're just, oh, I just happened to be here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's just, like, so much, it's so crazy that there's just so much vulnerability and, like, phobia around, like, that one statement.
Right.
Like, people will, like, refuse themselves to say that, and I definitely am kind of, like, I'm always, like, oh, I want to be perceived as somebody that is so happy being single.
Yeah.
And I am, for the most part, but of course, like, in the back of my mind, I'm, like, oh, it would be, like, nice to, and, like, it's really funny, because my mom's been, like, very anti-marriage. She's always like, don't get married, don't like, she's regretting, I think, her getting married. She's regretting, like,
she's
my,
like,
sister
don't
getting
do
married
this.
And then randomly a few weeks ago she randomly brought up, she was like, oh, I was just kind of thinking, I think, of course, it has to do something like Anderson Cooper, like that mother, or not maybe Anderson Cooper, I don't know, like one of some mother, one of the gays. Oh yeah, Don Lemon.
Oh, okay.
Don Lemon got engaged.
Yeah.
That motherfucker has to put his, like, successful, happy relationship, gay relationship in my mother's face, and then she starts thinking about me.
Ah.
And she's like, I was just, Don just got engaged.
Yes, she said Don, like they're friends.
Oh, girl.
She's like, did you hear about Don? It's like, who?
I sent her a photo at an event of Don, like, 300 feet away from me, and she, like...
She's like, Tom, I said hi! Yeah. My mom does that all the time. Can you... I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, on set with Meryl Streep today, like, which is, had not happened. But she's like, tell Meryl I loved her in, you know, Crying Game... No, she's not in Crying Game, is she?
Anyway. Or Sophie's Choice.
Sophie's Choice. One of the old school Meryl movies. And I'm like, I'm not ever gonna go up... Like, I remember I went to a party and I saw Beyonce there. And it was like, she was like that.
Roller skating.
Far, roller skating.
Yeah, I was up in your grill.
Oh, really?
About that.
Okay. Oh, that's right. So, whenever I'm around like a certain kind of famous person, I turn into like invisible, like the Harry Potter cloak comes over me. I do not want to like ever seem like I'm a fan. But
yeah, you're that, yeah, that's the professionalism of you though, as like an actor.
I'm like, oh, there's Beyonce. Let me walk to the other side of the room. Meanwhile, I'm like, I the next day I text my cousins and I was like, I saw Beyonce. And they're like, did you tell her what's up? I'm like, no. First of all, I don't want to get body slammed by somebody because I don't even know where the security is at when it, like, but it's like, it's just nice to be in that presence. But I feel like sometimes people are just like, did you go up and talk to her? I'm like, it doesn't really work that way.
Right.
I mean, it could if it's like natural.
That right.
It, like if Beyonce, it's like,
you were at a very personal party though too.
Yeah.
You were like at, so you were at a personal party, so it could go two ways. It could actually work, be more okay for you to say hi, but also you're just like there having fun with your friends.
Yeah. And also like,
I was so starstruck by you because
me
in that moment.
Oh, I was like, what? Oh,
I was starstruck because you were like, I took a double take.
Well,
and it was Janelle. Also, it was Janelle Monáe's birthday party.
Yeah. I didn't want to like drop. But I was also a plus one. Like my best friend.
But then who
Trace,
shared the video of them? Her roller
skating. I don't know. And that's why I was like, because I had my phone on me because I was texting my boyfriend. Because me and my boyfriend text all day. And if I don't text him for a while, I'm like, oh my god, he's like wondering where I am and like,
he's gonna think you're dead.
Yeah. It's weird, but like it works.
You're long distance.
Yeah, exactly. So communication's important. So I'm texting him, and then I see the video the next day, and I was like, who, first of all, had the balls to do something like that? And then I'm like, oh my god, would Beyonce think it was me? Because I had my phone on me. And I'm like, she probably didn't even remember or even seeing me, you know what I mean? But it's like, and people were like sending me the video, and I'm like, I don't know, like, how dare people do that? And like, it was so shady. I was like, can't she just have a moment as like a normal person?
Yeah.
I remember,
for me though, I think for me,
yeah, for you,
I think because I am so extra, I would just be like, Beyonce! Girl!
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what I want to be like.
Yeah.
I usually find that's genuine to you. Right.
So I don't think it would come off as, you know.
You should just brought Julissa out.
Oh my
and then
God.
Blame it on Julissa because she would probably go up to her. But the thing about it is, and I do find, I'll be extra. Yeah. I'll say something, and then you like have a moment with them.
Right.
And then like you don't make it about getting a photo.
Right.
And I do think is a big difference because even SJP has said she'd rather a fan come out, fangirl, and like share a moment, tell them something special.
Yeah.
And it's as opposed to like coming to get a photo.
Right.
It's like the fan is giving you something, as opposed to like the fan coming up and trying to take something from
you. Right. Well, because it feels as though like, someone's just going up to you for their own, like...
vanity.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm going to get this photo with you because I met Sarah Jessica Parker, rather than I loved you and what you do and da-da-da-da-da. And, like, you know, it's... Yeah, it's... You want to be... You want a connection. Even if you're, like, the most famous person, I'm sure you still want people to see you as a human being. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But Beyonce...
Why are we getting on this tangent?
One day.
What were we talking
I don't
about?
Know. What were we?
No, but really, what were we talking about? Because it was, like, good. Seeing famous people.
No, I mean, I feel like it was really, like, totally opposite of where we went. Woo, we really roller skated into that.
Oh, roller skate. But what, Oh my god. Yeah, we're... Oh no, dating. Yeah. Oh, the guy. Mm-hmm. Fangirl. No, I just think that, like, the other thing with him... Yeah, I guess it is just like... Oh my god, where were we? I'll probably... It was like... What were we talking about? We were talking about, like, wait, like, the guy, the cake factory, the, like, getting the...
Yeah, I was trying to retrace those steps.
The cake factory. Wait. The cheesecake factory.
Yes! Wait.
Yeah, but with him, like, I just don't know, like, where... It just... Yeah, it doesn't, like, really...
Are you still talking?
So, he did text me, like, the next day, being like, yeah, I really...
Is he gonna listen to this, is what I want to know.
He actually could. He does follow me. He follows me on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
And I actually think he's liked me more since he started following me.
Okay.
I know that's, like, because he'll text me after I post something or, like, make comments about things and stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, I guess that's cute. But I'm kind of annoyed. Like, there's something weird. I don't know. There's, like, like, for, like, the little, like...
What about it annoys you? Do you just want to know if he likes you or not? Is that, like...
Oh, I think he definitely likes me, but I think that, like, he's definitely not looking for... the other thing about him is he's a flight attendant. And, this is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He's a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm just, like, we've had so many conversations about, like, him fucking other guys, like, in Dublin or in...
Work. International. I don't know,
like, Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Can we just... He just went from Dublin to Phoenix, and that's...
Sometimes he does domestic. But he's mostly international. That's how good he is as a flight attendant.
Work.
But I'm, like, totally open to that.
Yeah.
And when you kind of have this vibe going with a guy and you're like, you literally, I'm totally okay with you getting dick, like, all over the world.
For sure.
But now, like, we're in this, like, one place at this one time.
Uh-huh.
We're within, like, 300 feet of each other.
Right.
Like, my booty hole should be the booty hole that you're speaking
to. Right, of course.
And that's also what kind of irked me.
Speaking to the whole whisper.
And, yeah, there's lots of candy and lots of thingy, but it's, like, the end of the day, like, that is what will separate, like, a man from a boy in your life.
Right, of course.
A fuck boy from, like, somebody that's really worth the time. And so all week I was, like, literally writing out these paragraphs of, like,
a draft. Were you doing it in the notes? Or?
No.
Because usually I'll put something in my notes and then I'll send it. I'll, like, draft it out. And I'm like, all right, that looks good.
No, I was, like, just doing it in the actual thing, which is so much riskier.
Yeah, especially because they can see the text bubble, and they're like, oh, wow, he's been thinking about something for a while.
No, this bitch is green. We're green, our communication, so he's not seeing me right.
Wow, that's really kind of you to, like, you know, date someone that has a green phone. It has a green text bubble.
But then I was basically just like, oh, okay, so we were like, no. And then I've been telling my friends, and they're like, why don't you, like, try seeing him to tell him this? And that, to me, was like, oh, wow. That is, like, very established.
Very old school. Very.
Yeah.
I feel like that's how my mom communicates. Well, that's actually very true, because when you're looking at someone in the eye and you're telling them how you feel, I feel like it hits home a lot deeper than if you're just like, so here's what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? Because, like, you can't escape someone when you're like, So this is how I feel. Da da da. You know, like, I'm looking at you now. Like,
yeah, I'm feeling like this is an intervention for the way that I communicate. Like, my friends have set you up.
They text me right before.
Oh yeah, I'm always texting people crazy shit. I mean, just this morning, I actually messaged somebody. I was, like, still in bed, and this person did something. It's a long story, and I was, like, messaging them all types of craziness.
Mm.
But then, like, he was trying to see me and everything. I'm like, okay, so this is when, like, I'll tell him what I'm, because my friends were, like, recommending that we do it in person or whatever, and then it just didn't end up happening. So really, who knows? But I do think I'm going to write about this.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting thing to process, this idea of, like, as a gay man who's so sexually free, should I be upset when the guy I like at the sex party doesn't pair off with me?
Well, I think the initial feeling is not something to be judged, but if you hold on to it, you have to question that where you stand in the sexual freeness of yourself. Because, like, I've read this book called The Ethical Slut. It's about polyamory and all that stuff. But so there's a spectrum. Like,
are you guys polyamorous, your relationship?
We're open to the possibilities that the world has. You know, there's no, like, definition really yet.
But you guys have been together for 2 years.
We've been together for
2 years. And you're long distance.
Yeah, and we have conversations about everything all the time, so it's very open in that
That's regard. Amazing. And I love the, and you really seem to be making a long distance relationship work well.
Well, that the thinking I have behind it is I'd rather be miles away from a soulmate than needing someone within 5 feet that I don't really vibe with that well. You know what I mean? Like, I've met a lot of guys that it never really clicked. Like, they were really sweet. There was things about them that I liked, but it never felt like that feeling that you hear about. So when I met my boyfriend, I felt that feeling. And he just so happened to live far away.
In Portland.
Right, in Portland. And, like, so... But it's fine. Like, we see each other every 2 weeks. And...
Oh, I feel like you're always... Yeah. I feel like you're together a lot.
Yeah.
And you're always going or coming from Portland.
Right. But anyway, back to the polyamory thing. So, I grew up very religious and, you know, one man, one woman, one man, one man, one woman. Just like that heteronormative, that's all you get. But then you live a lifestyle of, like, you know, living in New York. Everyone's free and crazy and you know... By crazy, I just mean doing their own thing. So you find yourself on a spectrum of, like, there's people that are completely open and they've been together for 9 years and they just do whatever they want. And then there's people in the middle that are like, we play together and we did it. And you find yourself, it's a sliding scale, I think. You know, you have your moments where you're like, oh, that is not comfortable for me. And that's okay. Like, you can readjust your settings, you know, but it's also about having that conversation within. Like, if someone flirts with my boyfriend, there's part of me that's like, I feel, like, really proud that that's my boyfriend and someone's flirting with me. And then I have a moment like, well, what the, like, you know what I mean? But knowing, being able to be in touch with yourself and being able to have that conversation before you take it outside of yourself, you know, like, checking yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I'm always wrecking myself. But I'm super also, like, communicative and, like, confrontational, like, to a point where, like, I get a lot out, like, right away. And that's why I have a lot of successful relationships, because if I'm feeling some sort of way, you're gonna, like, know it, you know what I mean? But for this, I was feeling some sort of way, and I was questioning what I was feeling, and I was like, am I being ridiculous? Am I being ridiculous to expect this guy at a sex party to focus on me? But also I was like going back and reading the text messages, I'm like, oh my god, like, he really did, like, invite me asked me to be there, and then when we're there he's trying to find me,
right?
And I probably missed the boat, like,
but which it's not so even a boat. Him finding that other guy, what does that make you feel like? What do you feel like? Oh, I guess I wasn't good enough.
For sure.
Okay.
Or, and just like...
But he wasn't texting that other guy before, probably. Met him. Listen, guys, you know this. Like, someone could just float by you and graze your arm, and you're like, oh. If they're hot enough, you're like, oh, they just grazed my arm. So it was very easy. Like, think about yourself in the other, like, role reversal.
Yeah.
Do you feel that, like, if you couldn't find him... And you're like, well, I guess I'll see him when I see him. And then someone else comes by and you're like, well, we're here and...
Yeah, I really would go back to him.
Really?
Really. Oh, I really would. Okay. I mean, and I've been in similar... This has happened to me like kind of once or twice before too. Mm-hmm. But no, I would... Because I'm kind of like aware of, you know, like those things. And I do kind of love like finding that guy.
Right, right, right.
For me, you know, sometimes like these sexualized events or parties and stuff are a lot. And like being promiscuous at them can be fun. But I really love like finding one person kind of and like being like their little like buddy.
And
their little like partner in crime.
Right.
Whether they're somebody I just met or they're somebody that I already knew. I like love that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I've had some really amazing nights where I've had that experience too. And so then like I ended up like being fine. I mean, I ended up getting like doing all types of things and it was great and I had a positive experience at the end, but for a little bit I was down on myself, and then I did leave being like, oh man, I feel funky. And for me I'm like such a, I don't know if this is a Scorpio thing, but just an Alexander Casala thing, where I always focus on how a person made me feel. But what you also have to understand is that like their intentions are like, they can't control how you feel themselves, and they're just going to do what they want to do, and they, whatever, and why they're doing it or what they're doing is like up to them. But I always focus on that, and I'm like, well, you made me feel this way. And that I think is kind of negative, or just like, you're not looking at it from the right perspective of like, I need to control how I feel and really own that.
Absolutely. Cause no one, I know that feeling because I've also feel that way a lot of times, but at the end of the day, we control the way we feel.
Right.
And while the initial reaction might be like, oh, how dare, like, we decide what, but it's not easy. Like, we could sit here and be like, you have full ownership of the way. It's like, yeah, but sometimes you just, like, go immediately to feel like crap. And, like, you, it's hard to get out of that right away. You know what I mean? Like, but in having conversation with people, I very, like, Brené Brown it these days, where I'm like, so this is what's going on in my head. Like, this is how I'm thinking about the situation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it takes it off of the other person. Because sometimes we're like, when we're like, you made me feel this way. It's like, whoa, 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 I didn't do shit, okay? Right. So it's like, so here's how I'm feeling about our exchange or what happened. This is what's going on in my head. Like, reiterate that so that they know that, like, you're taking the pressure off. You know what I mean? And still sometimes people will be like, well, I didn't do, you know... Communication is such an interesting, like...
I still want to cut his balls off.
Still?
Still.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, so we remember how Beyonce came up.
Yeah.
It all leads back to Beyonce. No, because I was just talking about my mom.
Yeah.
My mom having this... out of nowhere expectation for me to settle down.
Yeah.
And which is really random. And I was like, come at me. Like, this is not part of your brand or my brand, really.
Right.
But, you know, oh, and so then there's that idea of perpetuating the idea that you're okay with being single. Uh-huh. But maybe you're not.
Yeah.
And I think that just telling somebody off the bat, like, I am looking for a relationship is, like, so vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah. If they ask, so, like, what are you looking for? Like, oh, I'd love to have a relationship with someone to, like, go on vacations with during the weekend. Or, like, it doesn't need to be, like, crazy.
Oh, that's,
you know what
so
I mean?
Cute.
Like, people think that because that's, you say, like,
boyfriend thing,
would love a boyfriend.
Right.
What? You want a boyfriend? You want to be with someone? What? Why are we here? Like...
But I do kind of hate when people put in their profile, like, looking for somebody to explore the city with. And I'm like, what is this? Like, Star Wars? Are we, like, in, like, the intergalactic? Like, is, like, you know, it's that's a bit much for me. Like, somebody spend my weekends exploring.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, I definitely wouldn't put that in my bio. I remember when I used to be on, like, Grindr and stuff, I would always try and put, like, something, like, witty or something. I remember one time I put, like, hey, don't worry if I'm ignoring you. Someone's ignoring me, too.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. But tell me a little bit about, like, your experience on Pose. Because your experience on Pose seems to be just, like, really, really phenomenal and special.
Yeah.
Because, like, you came in with this, like, one part and you just, like, blew everybody out of the water.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's funny because when Pose was first announced, I texted my agent. I was like, I don't care what part... how I just want to be a part of the show. Like, I know it's going to be great and it's going to be big, and I just want to be in that world. So I think I auditioned for it, like, when I got the part, it was the third time I had auditioned. And the first two times were, like, different roles that went to other people, and, like, and everything just wasn't a fit yet. And then I moved to LA, and then they reached back out, or I think, you know, the way they do things, where they submitted me for a role, and I sent a tape in, got the part, and the part that I got was, I felt so connected to that, because I used to go to this LGBT acting class here in New York. It's called Act Out. It was like, LGBT, share your stories, be okay being a queer performer, and just all different types of people. Like, Laverne was in that class, Trace was in that class, like, so many amazing, talented people. And it just felt in line, because one of the things Brad Calcaterra, our acting coach, would always say was, honor the people, because it was at the LGBT center, so he's like, honor the people that have come through these rooms, that have paved the way for us. So getting the story, you know, for Costas and Pray Tell, like, two, like, you know, a black man and a Latino man just loving each other through the crisis. Like, you don't get those stories. So it felt so special to be able to be a part of that story. I remember filming it and I, like, cried 2 days straight, because you're in the hospital and you're, like, in this gown and you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you're realizing the gravity of, like, what actually took place. Yeah, and you know, it was hard. It was really hard. And but it was also so beautiful to like be on set and see the trans women and the gender nonconforming people on set being the crew. Janet Mock directing a black trans woman to like to have that space. It felt like a dream, like out of this world. You know, when you like when you have your dreams and you're like, I would like my life to be like this. I would like to play a role of a queer man that lost his voice in the fight, you know, and because that matters to me. And I think as a queer actor, a lot of people are like, well, the best person should get the part. And I'm like, I get that. Like, in a perfect world, that would work. But for me, playing a queer man means so much to me because of what we've gone through as a community and whatnot. So being a part of Pose was a dream come true. And one of those dreams that you're like, is this happening? Like, am I really acting opposite Billy Porter? Like, legend. Amazing. Such a talented and, like, giving person.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then just the thing, the one thing about that I loved was they were together for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that happened a lot. And mm-hmm. a lot of times you'll hear from people that tell stories about the 80s where you would just meet somebody at the bar and mm-hmm. then like a few weeks later they'd be gone. Or, you know, there was a constantly this, you know. And so the idea that Billy Porter loved this person that was only in his life for a few months, like, and he wasn't just throwing him away. He was really staying with him through the hardest time in his life.
Yeah.
And seeing him through that was like so beautiful.
But it's also like you... Like, imagine meeting a man that you feel that you could spend the rest of your life with, and then all of a sudden it's going to be cut short. You want to create whatever that life would have been in that short period of time. So I feel that a lot of that happened within those times, especially, like, brown and black people at that time, you know, with the stigma, with the families specifically, that, you know, I, like, gave myself a whole backstory of, like, Pray Tell's probably the only person that ever came to visit me. You know, like, he's... And it doesn't matter how long we were dating. Like, he's family at this point. So, yeah, it was just being a part of it. And then watching the show as, like, a viewer, I was also sucked in. I remember... this is a spoiler for anyone that hasn't seen. So, if you have not seen Pose, please, you know, tune out. Or come back in 5 minutes. But the part where Pray Tell receives his status, I cried my eyes out, not only as a viewer, but as his partner. Because in our episode, I kind of have an inkling of that he has been diagnosed positive as well. So when I got to see the moment that he found out, I felt like his actual partner, being able to see what went down, and I lost it. But yeah, I mean, just being part of the show is just, being part of it and then also being a fan. Like, people are like, I post about it all the time. People are like, girl, all right, we get it. Like, you were in it. It's like, it's not even about that.
You're constantly reassuring other people watching it, because I think so many more people are watching right now because it's on Netflix.
Yeah, and that's so great because, you know, a lot of people don't have access to cable and literally just have Netflix, or there's 8 people on one Netflix account. So the more eyes we can get on a show like Pose, the more opportunities we have for other shows like Pose to be made, you know?
And there's, so I was working, not right now working, but with, like, the people that used to own The Saint.
Uh-huh.
The Saint was this, like, famous nightclub back in the 80s. Yeah. And it was open from 1980. Do you know anything about it? It's okay if you don't.
I've heard of it, but I don't know the specifics.
So it was just, like, the biggest gay nightclub, like, in New York City. It was open from, like, 1980 to 1988. Mm-hmm. And it basically closed because of AIDS. Yeah. And because there weren't gay men to go to this club anymore.
Right.
And so I've been working with the people that literally, also the man who owned it, mm-hmm. His name was Bruce Mailman.
Yeah.
He died in like 92 or 94. And so he ended up giving it to his cousin, who now runs this organization that does things like in its name and everything. So I've just been like really thinking about and focusing and working on a lot of these things myself. And it's just so crazy, like, what happened.
Yeah.
And like, hearing Madonna's speech at the GLAAD Awards, where she really articulated the phobia and just the fear and the panic and the chaos that was happening, mm-hmm. I thought was really amazing. You know, people say so much shit about her and everything.
Yeah.
which is their opinion, but really hearing her articulate it and mm-hmm. then like experiencing all these stories and like watching those scenes in pose, yeah. it is so important for everybody to understand what happened.
Yeah. I mean, there was two different reactions I saw online, which was like mostly just
to pose this and is
important. Just that storyline, mm-hmm. it was like a lot of positive feedback, a lot of people from the time messaging and saying thank you for, you know, honoring the time period and what it was actually like. And then there was some younger people that were like, we get it, like we want to move on to a happier time. And it's like, no, you don't get to choose. Just like, this isn't, you don't get to ignore history, especially because it's not really even that long ago, you know. And I always say I'm like really excited because we're coming back to a place where we feel more sexually open and free, because AIDS really stunted that kind of growth as a community for us to be sexually, like, because before AIDS we were very sexually open, people were in relationships and they were free and doing things and like enjoying themselves and enjoying their sexual liberation, because for so long that's what we fought to get. And then AIDS happened, so we go back, we're going back a couple years, like not a couple years, but like, you know, and now we're finally getting, but that doesn't mean we get to ignore what actually happened, you know. And that's why I do appreciate that two of the lead people in Pose are HIV positive. That is, and also Black and trans and queer. Like, that is insane in the world that we live in when it comes to television. Like, the fact that these two people living with HIV are the protagonists of one of the biggest shows on TV. Like, that is so important for not only the young people that are learning, but for the people that came before to feel honored by what the show's doing for that, you know?
I get chills every time I walk by, yeah. like, a bus stop and see, like, Billy or MJ.
Yeah.
Or Dominique. I mean, I get chills.
Yeah.
It's Pride Month.
Yeah.
What does Pride mean to you on the 50th anniversary of Stonewall?
I was actually asked this question recently.
By every journalist.
Well, no, but it's because it's one of those questions that you think you know the answer to, and you're like, what does Pride mean to me? And for me, it's like, I always say it's like you take all your journey in general and you honor it. So like whatever you've been through, you take pride in that. Like all of the years of bullying and self-hatred, taking pride in the fact that you're here where you are today. And even if you aren't out of the closet, taking pride in the journey that you're on. Because I feel like a lot of people think that pride is just about like, it's the end of the road. Like, we're proud. There's no room for growth. There's so much room for growth. So it's like, I think pride is just a reflection of being happy in who you are. And also being shaken up by what is still to come. You know what I mean? Like, there's my friend Raymond Braun just released an amazing film called State of Pride. It's on YouTube, so it's available to everyone. I'm just gonna plug it right now. But it really talks about where we are when it comes to Pride. Pride is still a protest, and it's also a celebration. And both can live together, and should live together. And so long as people are, you know, marginalized in the queer community, we must protest, you know? Because there's always gonna be reasons why we could be better. You know what I mean?
You seem to be a very good ally for, like, trans people.
Oh.
As a gay man.
Because, I say this a lot, but trans people were the first, trans women of color, and, you know, just trans women in general, were the first people to make me feel comfortable in everything that I was. I mean, when I came out as gay, I felt like I went into a... when I came out, I was probably, like, 18. But, the first coming out and having a group of gay friends, I still felt like I needed to prove something or be something. And it's very interesting when what you're attracted to is what is dictating what's your worth. So then I found a group of trans girlfriends that really lifted me up despite any, you know, body stuff or femme stuff. It was just like, you're special. And it was like, wow. You know, and that, like, also that maternal quality. Like, I talk about my best friend Trace Lissette all the time. And she really molded the person that I am. Like, she took this little heap of gay boy. I won't say trash, because, you know, I hate when gays call themselves trash. but she really helped me along the way to check my misogyny, to check my transphobia, to check all of those things that eventually would make me a better person. And I still learn every day. Like, you know, I remember one time she was getting ready for an event, like for a red carpet thing. And I was like, you got to wear heels, girl. You got to like look fierce. And she's like, that's your miss. Like, no, I don't. Like, I could wear sneakers and be fine. I'm like, well, okay. And you know, just like in my head, I'm like, this is what it's supposed to be like. And just that conversation, I always remember because it was like, oh yeah, women are also able to do whatever they mm-hmm. want, you yeah. know? But yeah, I really do credit my relationship with trans women and trans men as such a great relationship. I don't know. Like, I love trans people. I really, really do. And
there really is so much. I mean, I think we live in a bubble in a mm-hmm. bunch of ways yeah. just because we like work in media.
Right.
And I think that right now there are a lot of narratives being told about like the importance of trans visibility and, right. and there's lots of, but like my work at NBC, mm-hmm. if there's an article shared about trans people on the NBC News mm-hmm. Main Facebook of yeah. like 10 million followers and likes, so many of the comments really? Are transphobic.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm like, that opens my eyes mm-hmm. to be like, wow, yeah. there is still, and these are people that follow NBC News. Yeah. They're not following Fox.
Right.
So they're not that conservative or, you know, and they have so much deep-seated transphobia where they really don't understand or don't want to understand yeah. or are just, and that is also when I'm like, damn.
Yeah. That is,
and these are the same people that I will see like supporting, like even that are supporting gayness,
yeah.
or saying like they're okay with that. Oh, they're okay with it's, yeah. and but they're not for some reason the idea of you know somebody you know transitioning mm-hmm. or is just so they just can't, and that yeah. is when I'm like, damn, we do have so much work to yeah. do. Well, we really do. We really, really do.
People are obsessed with what they don't know about. And snuffing whatever it is that is not them. Like, I have so many conversations with gay men that are like, it's so funny. I'll be in a group of gay men, and then someone will say something slightly transphobic, and everyone looks at me. And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, no, no. You guys have to own your friend. Like, I can't be the trans savior all the time. Like, we all have to pitch in, and we all have to do this. You know what I mean? And that's why I said in a tweet recently, like, when Malaysia was killed, I was like, y'all need to speak up. Don't just speak up when, you know, Pose is coming on and you're like, yes, MJ is fierce. No, no, no. We need your voices when the most marginalized are being literally killed
right.
day in and day out. But it's so uncomfortable for you because we already live in an uncomfortable world.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a duty to protect, you know, women and trans men that have really stuck their neck out. And even gender non-binary people. Like, these people are being harassed on the street as we speak. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, I just don't understand the lack of voice and movement within the community to, like, always have something to say about it. You know?
For me, I just recently randomly was, like, walking somewhere and I had the most random thought. I mean, I do feel like I am... I've always been an ally mm-hmm. or an advocate for like everybody in our community. Yeah. But I do think there have been some moments when I've maybe like questioned things that I shouldn't have or mm-hmm. like eye rolled or, you know?
Right.
And I randomly was just thinking about like women, like mm-hmm. straight women
yeah.
in our lives. And back to our conversation earlier, how mm-hmm. they were like our friends when we were young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And our friends in college and there and yeah. everything. And I was like, just putting myself in like a reversal of shoes and like, I can't even imagine, like, mm-hmm. my best friends, like, my best friend Colleen or Kate or Christine or Caroline yeah. or all these girls that I've been friends with for, like, 10 years. I couldn't even, if I came to them and be like, oh, my God, this homophobic thing happened to me.
Yeah.
They would, oh, my God, it's going to make me cry. They yeah. would, like, never question me yeah. or, like, doubt me, yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm.
They would be like, yeah, and I can't even imagine, like, mm-hmm. so many of the, my sister, you know? Yeah. I can't even imagine doing that. So then, like, for me to question or potentially doubt, like, somebody else's experience with potentially racism
right.
or, like, transphobia.
Right.
You're like, oh, my God, I can never do that myself.
Right.
And it's, like, but just putting it in that mm-hmm. in that mindset, it really like opened my eyes, and yeah. I just was like,
well, a lot of times, a lot of reasons that people question or doubt from the get-go is a way of self-preservation, because if we see the actual truth of what's going on, it doesn't feel good. So people will be like, well, it really can't be that bad. People can't be that evil. But it truly is that cut and dry. People are evil. They're either taught to be evil, or that it just is that way. So
it's like a spectrum. It's like, in order right. for there to be so much love, there right. also has to be so much darkness.
Absolutely.
And so much, yeah.
And by acknowledging darkness or acknowledging hate does not take away from the love that there is in the world. And that's what people need to remember, that even though we're going through a really shitty time, that people are dying in the street, like, we can overcome that because we have overcome it in the past. We're dealing with a different type of it right now, you know? And that's why it's like, I can talk about, we can be multidimensional people and enjoy the riches that we have to enjoy in our community, but we also have to speak out against injustice, because just like the lesbians and trans women were there for queer men that were dying of AIDS, we have to be here all the time for all of our people. Like, it doesn't matter what part of the acronym you are, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's people that just don't want to, and you can't force anyone to care, but if you do, you have to speak louder for everyone else that doesn't want to talk. You know what I mean? Yeah.
If you liked what you listened to, subscribe to The Fame Report on iTunes and rate 5 stars today.